So we're going to get into the scriptures and have a lot of different scriptures in the opening of the service. And so I've asked her to have them on the screen there so we can go through them quickly so everybody won't have to spend so much time searching in their Bible. But they're all scriptures you're familiar with. You've been in the church for very long. And so we will read those and then we'll progress through them quickly. Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. So they're all pertinent to what I want to share this morning, and so if everybody will just try to stay with me, it may seem maybe a disconnect there, but it's not. Hold it there for a little while, and you'll see what it is. So
Amen.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, mm-hmm. I'll make some comments as I go, God said, it's not good that man shall dwell alone. It's his idea.
That's right.
It's God's idea that he not be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him, or a helpmate. Amen.
Right.
I'm glad he did.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we see, go to the next scripture there, chapter 3, verse 13. And of course, we know what happened. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Amen. So we know where that fits in. And then Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1, speaking of Israel, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Isn't that loving the Lord would?
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
All right, let's go to the next scripture, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 4. This is Apostles Paul speaking. Would to God you bear with me in a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtility, so your minds should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, nor another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 14, and then we'll go to verse 20. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there the whole doctrine of Balaam. What did Balaam do? He tells you there. And he's telling the New Testament church, you have this in the midst of your church. You have those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication.
Yep.
Verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, the church.
Right.
Which calleth herself, she calls herself a prophetess. He didn't, but she does.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
To teach and to what? To seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
Yes.
Amen. Now let's go to Revelation 17, verse 1 through 7. And there came one of the seven angels. I wonder which one it was. One of the seven angels which had seven vials, and he talked unto me, saying unto me, come hither, and I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters,
yep.
with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination, the filthiness of the earth, of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery, the Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel, same one that's showing, right? The angel said unto me, said unto John, who's a type of the church, why do you marvel at this? I will tell thee, mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. And the last scripture is Revelation 18:4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people,
Amen.
That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.
Amen.
You already see the theme.
Right.
Right. So we're gonna just comment on these things here in just a moment. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, I pray that you just cause these words to be shared as you would have it. Lord, knowing that that's where you directed me Thursday morning, Lord. And so I just pray, God, that you just allow me to express only the way you would have it expressed. And, Lord, that it would be something that would be helpful to your children. We love you, Lord. Commit this time in your hands. Ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. How many love him?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we do love him. Been so good for all of us. I'm going to title this today, and this is the title of the sermon, You Choose a Title. After you hear it.
Uh-huh.
You choose the title of this sermon today after you hear it. Amen? I thought I better tell Brother Tim as he was putting that in there a while ago that I wasn't telling him to choose it. I was just saying that is the title. You choose it after you hear it. And so I wanted to tell a little bit of story, and I wondered where to place it in here. And so maybe I'll just go ahead and take it now. You may say, Brother Tony, what kind of way is this to start off with a sermon or whatever? But so there's this man I work with, and this has been going on for the last year and a half, 2 years, been in conversation with him. And so this man, they went through a lot of things, troubles and things. But he discovered that his wife was having an affair on him. And so she was going to divorce him. And because she had her mother had recently divorced her husband and remarried. And this man she married had a son who this friend of mine at work's daughter, friend, wife, his wife, liked this man and had an affair with him. And so she was going to leave him and go, you know, to be with this other man. And of course, my friend there at work, she had lost her phone, I guess, or whatever that connects to her watch that connects to her phone. And so he had found it. And of course, on that phone was every email still connected. And so he got to pry into, he got to see everything she was doing behind the scenes. And while she was gonna leave and go to this man who was gonna leave his wife, she was also having an affair with a little league coach on the side, or to some extent. And so my friend at work sees all this, and he sees how she's moving around, and she's gonna take him for everything. She's building a case, and she's talking to her friends, and he's privy of all this. And so he knows what she's up to. And so this goes on for just a little bit, and then all of a sudden this man that she was gonna leave and go be with, that didn't work anymore. That didn't pan out. And so she decides she's just going to stay back with my friend, you know. Of course, he knows this. And at some point, this all came out. And he said, look, I know, you know, here's your phone, here's your watch, right? And I talked to him, you know, as he was going through this while it was unfolding. And we talked about it. And he said to me, he said, I really feel like I need to give her another chance. He said, because if I don't, I won't know. I won't know. I really feel like I should try again, you know, because if I don't, then I would wonder. And so he did. He took her back, and this was probably maybe a year, maybe less than a year ago. And so she was, you know, one of the best ways to expose the devil is just to defeat him, is just to expose him. But so she came back, and so, you know, her spirit and nature of what she was doing there is now known to him. And so instead of not doing it, so then she takes on to just doing it openly and coming home, and he's having to see this, you know. And so I spoke to him this last week, and he said, this was pretty nice, you know. He said, I confronted her and her mother, in front of her mother. And I said, I don't know. He said, I don't know what joy you get out of this, of going and doing these things and coming back, and I'm here having to watch this. So I just, you know, and so he confronted her in front of her mother, which mother like daughter probably, you understand? And so the mom and her left, and they come back a little bit later, and she said, okay, I'm going to come get my stuff and move out. And so he's, you know, he's done. And so, I think he's been very good at trying to make it work out. And he's gotten to the points where he realized this is just not, and so, you know, I mean, who would ask him to continue to subject himself to that? Does he not have a right to have a virtuous wife, to have a wife who's to him and him alone, right? Well, what woman, what sister in this church or brother in this church would say, no, he needs to just stay right there and let her do that, right? Especially the brother shaking her head. How about sisters? What do you think? Can I see? So it's, what about, right? See, everybody unanimous. No, you know, and so I want to kind of talk about that. I realize after the Lord gave me what I want to share with you today, and then a day or so later, this story came to mind, and I realized, you know, that everything happens for a reason, and so that this story, I'm like, okay, that's fits right here. So that's why I want to tell you what I did tell you the story now. And if anybody hears this, they won't know what it is, who it is, and if they do, they already know. They already know enough to know who it is I'm talking about at work. So we went through a lot of scriptures there, and I basically went from Genesis to Revelation, showing you this theme that we're going to talk about this morning. So, you know, God is the author of male and female. He's the one that decided that whenever we're gonna when we're gonna have a creation and all these things and the way it all works, he made it to where it requires male and female, or else it don't work. Got to have both. And so we know, and I like the way I like to say it, is the male is giver of seed. I just, interesting, sometimes I talk to AI or, you know, whatever to not talk to it, but I'll ask questions, you know, because it can go out and confine facts and information and stuff. So it makes it easy to do some research. It helps you get to where you need to go really quick. And so, you know, I call the male as the giver of the seed. And so I said to AI, I said, what would be a description that could be given that would show the difference between males and females in all species? Birds, animals, fish, whatever. And it came back, and it was exactly what I use my own simple words, that male is a giver of seed and female is a receiver. And so he comes back and talks about the male is the male at once, and he referred to it as sex cells, but males produce sex cells that are motile, moving, right? And female is not motile. She has the egg that she produces or whatever. And so the male, you know, moves to her, and then she becomes the site where this growth, this reproduction starts within her womb. And of course, it can in different things, but it starts there with her. And so that's why I said he is the giver of seed and she is the receiver of seed. And so we realize in the scripture, God put this in all creation because he made all, he said, every seed will bring forth of its own kind, right? So when a newborn fish is born, in that newborn fish is the ability and already laying in there a mechanism that's going to make that fish reproduce. Amen? And so it's that way when all animals, all species have this in there where they have their one of their main goal is to multiply. So that's what they do. And so they all have this ability in them. And so if it's not there, then there's something happened. There's a perversion that's happened. Because God put it in there. God put it in that seed. Every seed's going to bring forth its own kind. And so if that mechanism is in there, then, you know, that's what's going to happen. And if something comes along and says, like for instance, if they're born sterile, there's something wrong there. Because God made it where all could do it. And so seeds and so forth, same way. And so even if it's born and it's not sterile, but something happens to it, or if there's some sort of doctrine that comes along and changes the way it lives or something like that, it's all contrary to God because God put it in that seed to do those things, to multiply, to replenish, and so forth. And so we know it's a perversion if it's not there. So, you know, even little girls, little bitty girls, just when they're just almost big enough to start walking and talking, they want to be mothers. You can see it. How many of you noticed it? I love it.
Right.
I love to watch little bitty and boys having them to be boys. And I love it. I love watching it. We, Griffin and Waverly were over there at the house the other day, and there was a worm out there in the yard, and Waverly, she's talking about it, but she's talking about it from a little bit of a distance. But not Griffin. He's down there with his head right there at it, you know.
Yeah.
The difference between boys and girls,
right?
They're born that way, and they'll stay that way if something doesn't pervert it.
Right?
They're made that way. I seen a thing here a while back about this has happened enough for them to do a report on it, to do a kind of a documentary kind of thing on it, where there's career women, and they gave the example, career women who were lawyers, and they became very good as attorney, and moved up in law firms and were so good at it that they actually became partnership in their law firm. In other words, they've arrived, and they're part of have their own partnership. They're in it, and these women, when they would get in there, start getting into their 30s and start getting a little bit further down in life and turn around and walk away from it completely, lose everything so they could go home, have a baby, and be a mother. Because it's in there. Right? If there's so much Satan to try and change and cover over what God put in us. What God put in there is in there. Right. So we gotta make sure that what we are influencing ourselves to is not trying to stop what God put there. So he put that in there, and so these mothers, you know, these women would leave their careers and go home to be mothers. And so I love to watch mommies with babies. I love to watch our sisters in the church when baby Noah was born, and every sister in here, they just have this something about them, the way that you can see the love and the mother coming out of them with babies.
Right.
In essence, in a way that every woman in this church is a mother to these little ones. Right?
Right.
Because, and I love watching it. It's so godly, it's just astounding, you know. And, you know, men have traits about them that's different. So we know that. So God put those things in. And I would say, what kind of God would create but not put into his creation the ability to multiply, to replenish? What kind of God would do that? He creates, well, I created some horses, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and they died, so now I got to create some more horses. That's not what he did. That would not be conducive. That would not be a good representation of our God. When our God sets something in order, he puts the ability for it to perpetuate. And we know perpetual life is just, in a smaller way, a type of eternal life. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
He puts in there, you know, and so it would not be a good example of him showing his characteristics if he didn't do that. But he does. He put in every species, every creature, the ability to procreate and continue on and on and on and on. Because he's the author of life, right? He's the author of life. It just all comes from him. Life comes from him. And so we know in all the creatures and everything of the earth that man is above it all. He made all the different creatures and so forth. And when he made man, and then he said, and now it's very good. Why? Because he finally made something that was in his image. You have to understand that when he made man, and it says he's in the image of God, then man, of all species on this earth, man is the most accurate representation of God.
Right.
Man's emotions, man's desires, his everything is the most representative of God. And so when he created, when he got to that spot, he said, now it's very good. Because that's what God wanted.
Right.
Amen? So man is above it all. And so we understand that God placed the ownership, this is just my words, but the ownership of seed line is with the man.
Right.
The man, but females are called to be the helpmate to the male. We know that. Scripture says it just plain. By doing so, the woman doesn't have seed in herself, but she has one through her union with him. Right? That's why when he said about the serpent seed and that the woman's seed, well,
yeah,
the woman's seed was because of what came to her through her union with her husband.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's how that she is able to fulfill her calling in life, is when she unites with a husband, and then she becomes co-owner of that seed line. It belongs to him, but she becomes co-owner of it through her union with him.
Right.
Without that union, she's not fulfilling her position, because God made her to be a helpmate. Right?
Right.
Now, we understand that. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. If you look at this, you'll pull it up there. We're very familiar with this. This is the book of the generations. Not coming up, huh? scriptures. That's all right. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female, verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Eve. No, he called their name Adam because the seed line is with the man.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Type in Christ. The gospel life is with Christ.
Right.
Right? So the church has nothing unless they are united with him.
Amen.
And then, but yet, watch this. But when they're united with him, they become co-owners.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Amen. And so, even before the fall, she was to be one with him in order to fulfill her purpose. That was her calling, was to be one with him. And then after the fall, that's how she's redeemed. She's not, her place is to be the helpmate to the man, to her husband. And so, once the fall happened, her place is still there, and so that's how redemption happens. The redeeming is to take her back and put her back in that. That's why the scripture says that the husband is the redeemer.
Right.
Right? Because she's supposed to be in this position, and she's not, but he can take her and marry her, and that puts her where she's supposed to be.
Right?
Right.
Right.
Think of the church now. That Christ, that we're lost and we're undone and we're never to be without headship. That's why in the scriptures the women were not to be without headship. They were to have headship with their dad over them, and then he could give them to the husband. Or if she was a widow, then that was, you know, they had a way of dealing with that and so forth. But she was to be under headship.
Right.
So much so that even the daughter could make a vow. If the dad said, no, I don't allow this, then God would take that away, not hold her accountable to it.
Right.
But if the dad heard it and said, okay, then God would hold her accountable for what she had made a vow for. And you see that was transferred to the husband. The husband had the same authority over it. I'm glad that the Lord can say, no, you're not going to do what you think you're going to do. I'm glad, because he knows. He's the one responsible. He's watching over me. But then he also has the ability to let us do what we claim we're going to do, and then we're going to have to deal with what choices we've made. So we understand that. And so that's her place. The husband is her redeemer. That's her spot. And so this is why it's so important for men to live right and godly. Right? Because you got to live right if you want to redeem your wife and take your wife to a rapture. You want to take your wife to living in the presence of God when this life is over with. You got to live in such a way that you can draw her to that, right?
Right.
So it's important, and I don't want to let up on that. I want men to understand that if you want your wife to follow, you give her something she can follow, right? I feel so bad for sisters that don't have godly husbands.
Right.
Then let God be your husband. Right? Until your husband becomes your husband, right? God's still your husband anyway. But you understand. And so this whole entire system that God put in place is all built around this male being able to reproduce himself. Right? And so I said last week, you know, like the third pool, it can't be imitated. No man can imitate another man's seed. So that tells you what happens in the third pool.
Right.
That you have an experience with God that Satan cannot imitate.
Right.
Right? This whole Bible from one end to the other is a story about God looking for a female that he can reproduce God-life through. That's what the whole thing is, right? Starts out with a husband and wife, ends with the Christ and the marriage of the Lamb and so forth. So, this whole system is built around this male being able to reproduce himself, and that's what God put in place. And so we understand that it's correct and right that a man is to search and find a wife. That's why the scripture said a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. It's the whole thing. Christ had to come from heaven. Right? Because the man has got to leave father and mother. He's got to go and find this wife. Why? It's built in him. It's in the seed that made him. That seed that made him had put in him the ability to produce, reproduce himself. And in order to do that, he has to go find that female as a bedding ground, as a helpmate. He can't do it any other way. So Christ has to be searching for a church. Right? A man, unless he's perverted, a man has something in him that's want to find a wife and so that he can live on. And so he can keep going. And so God put that in him to do so. Amen?
Amen.
So now, excuse me. Who would be ignorant enough to tell a man, you're not allowed to do that? Be like telling a frog, oh, no. You cannot mate. You cannot find a wife. You just have to sit right there like that. You can eat and crop, hop around, whatever, but you just can't. That would be a defiance of the very thing that God put in them to be able to be fruitful and multiply. Right? So, who would tell a man, like my friend at work, who would be have the audacity to say, no, you got to stay right there and just, you got to let that happen. See, if he doesn't, if the man doesn't find someone, a wife, he's gone. He once he dies, he's done. There's no more going forward of his seed line. So basically, you'd be telling him, No, you're not allowed to live on. You have to just sit right there like you are, and when you're dead, your gene is gone, it'll never come back, no one can recreate it, and reproduce it, whatever, so it's done. That's what you're basically saying to a man like my friend, if you said to him, no, that's what you're telling him, you're just stuck like that. We know scripturally he's not, because we know what the scripture said, But what kind of mentality, what kind of person would say, no, you're not allowed to have a wife, or you can have one, but she's going to be, you have to let her be defiled, you have to let her run with everybody she wants to run with, and you're just stuck with it.
No.
What kind of idea, what kind of person would right? Would it be the audacity of someone to try and say that? To tell him, well, you have to take a polluted womb. You've got to just let her do that. So that when she does produce children, you don't know if it's yours or not. Right? And I know science don't like this, the word telogeny, where a woman's, her womb can be polluted by some man that she's been with, and then later on her husband can have children by her, and then that child is born can have things about it there as a result of this other man from years ago. I know science, they deny that, but there's proof out there, but they don't want to go down that road. And so here a while back, whenever I was interacting with AI, I was in a conversation about this, and this is where it said, it's not what you're saying it is. And I said, I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking questions, because it knew where I was going with it. But see, that system was also programmed to have the mindset of the world, right? So they don't want, because if you do that, then you have to tell scientifically every woman, do not be with another man that's not going to be your husband, or else there will be consequences. They don't want to go down that road, but it's so, and we know it is scripturally so.
That's right.
So who would tell them, oh well, you have to take a defiled woman, or you have to let her do this, even though she calls herself your wife? What kind of person would want to say that? Well, I tell you who has the audacity to do that, and that's Satan. Satan and all those that are under the influence of him and a system he puts in place, and that's exactly what the world is saying to in the natural, and that's exactly what the church world is saying, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here in a minute.
Right.
You probably already see it.
Yep.
Right? To tell the man, you just have to deal with it. To tell him, you don't have choice. You can't have a standard. You can't ask for her to be undefiled. See, Satan produces a world where they all get defiled before man ever has a chance to get to her, like Eve was before Adam could get to her. Right? So, I said a while ago what kind of God would not create his, put the ability in his creation to reproduce. What kind of God would not want to reproduce himself? Think about it. And here's another one. What kind of God who wouldn't reproduce himself, have children, and then kill those children? Our God's not like that. Our God knows exactly what he's doing. Our God does not lose his children.
Right?
There might be millions of so-called Christians die, but God, or be lost, right? Like Judas was religious, Cain was religious, all kinds of religious people, right? Doing things they should, you know, not called to do, whatever. But God does not lose his children. I mean, speaking of the character of God, to create and make offspring for himself and make them to where they can have offspring, and there would be criteria that he would follow, criteria that they would follow according to his leadership, that they would, in doing so, in finding this wife or mate to follow in the characteristics of what he would do. And so, this shows the audacity of the world system. To come out against God, the whole Bible is all about this very thing here. That's why sex has been so perverted. Because it's all about seed and how it comes. Life, all about life coming forth. And so Satan's got to try and mess that up. Amen. And so now let's turn a corner here. May have already turned it, but so any man in his right mind is going to be very selective at who he marries. My grandmother always told me, don't ever be with a woman that you can't look at her and say, hey, she would make a good mother. Right? That's what she always told me. Don't have nothing to do with them. If you can't look at them and say, you know what, she would be a good mother to my children. And so, any man in his right mind would be very selective in his choice of a wife. He would not be looking at her looks, but he'd be looking for character. We've been through this, we know this. He'd be looking for her ability to be a good mother. Right? Some of the ways you can find out whether or not she'd be a good mother is to look at her mother. Right? And look at how she responds to mom and dad. Things like that, you know. Marriage enrichment stuff tells you these things. We've been through it many times. So, who's going to tell him that he can't have this high standard? Who's going to tell a man in the natural, now you just have to, I know a brother hearing the message, and he's getting later in life, and he's held out because he wants to marry a virgin. And he's had preachers in this message tell him, no, just go ahead and marry one of these others, and he won't do it. Right? I say, stick with it, brother. Stick with it.
Yep.
Right? That's the conviction in your heart. It lines up with the Word of God. Stay with it.
Right?
Right? Amen. And so, who's going to tell him, well, you can't have high standards. You have to choose a defiled woman. And you must let her go and run and be with other men, though she calls herself your wife. What would anybody, and we all would say, I think probably most people in this world would say, no, that's not right, right? Like we're saying, that's not right. And so, any man in his right mind would not settle for that.
Right?
Any man in his right mind would not settle for having to say, well, I'll just take a defiled woman. Right?
Right.
Why do we think God would?
Right.
Why do we think God would do that? I have spoke this morning through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation of a theme. that ran through the entire Bible, that God is looking for a virtuous woman that can be the bride of Christ. It's the theme of the Bible. And the audacity of Satan to come along and say, well, no, you can't do that, or you can, but her womb is going to be defiled by my teachings, by my doctrine. That's why Paul said what he did. I fear lest as the serpent beguiled Eve, that somebody's going to come and preach another Jesus. That you're going to receive another spirit.
Yeah.
See, Paul was, this is what he's speaking of.
Right.
Right? And so, any man in his right mind would say, I'm not going for that, and neither does God. God does not have to put up with that, and he won't. See, God has used plain speech all along, declaring the adulterous actions of Israel in the Old Testament, we just read it, and the churches of the New Testament. Very clearly, it doesn't take rocket science. God's opinion of Israel was that you played the harlot. I read it this morning over and over in the scriptures, time and time and time again. Time and time again, he says, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. You've played the harlot. You've done this. You've had many lovers. Over and over and over in the Old Testament. And then we get to the New Testament, supposed to be his church with the Holy Spirit. And here's this church, and God has to come along and tell John, tell him, you have let Balaam come in here, and he has tricked you into committing adultery. You're allowing the woman Jezebel to fornicate with you. In the New Testament church, he said the same thing. So which one of us stand there and say, well, God, you just have to do that. You just got to take one. That's what you got. It's ignorant. God is not going to do that. Right? So he says, you know, he's been very clear. It doesn't take rocket science. Doesn't take neuroscience or quantum physics. By the way, I punched in there. I said, what is the most complicated science that there is? Because we always say rocket science. And so I'm like, there's things more complicated than rocket science. Amen. So all God is looking for is the same thing that a good, godly, thinking man would be looking for. Is a wife that would do a good job of helping him reproduce himself. Let me ask you something. This word is seed. This is God.
That's right.
What did he create the universe with?
The spoken word.
Right? He created the universe. This word right here is able to heal, to create, to form, to fix your family, to fix your sicknesses.
Right.
This word one day will destroy the devil.
Yeah.
Right? It's seed. This is your husband's
That's
seed.
Right. That's right.
He's looking for a place where he can put it.
That's right. There you go.
So that it can bring forth.
No.
He wants to destroy Satan
right.
through the believing womb of hearts of people, right? Yeah. This is where it's going, right?
Amen.
So how much of this seed, if we mix it with something else, how long will it be until eventually this seed can't kill the devil, can't heal you, can't fix your problems,
right?
How much unbelief, how much of some other doctrine, as Paul said, I fear lest somebody come preach something else. If somebody's preaching something else and they're not staying with the original thing they were taught and they mix it with something else, how long before it's not able to do what it said it'll do? Right away. And that's exactly what this is. People want to challenge this word and say, oh, you don't know. You're mixing it.
Right.
Exactly. And then you wonder why it doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
It's because it's been mixed. This is God's word. It can't fail.
Right.
It will produce unless you mix it with something else. Hybrid.
Uh-huh.
Right?
You
can mix it with something else and it might look bigger, might look better, but it's got death in it. That's what hybrids are all about.
Right.
And there's no reproducing in it because it's hybrid.
Right.
Right?
That's right?
So you can't mix it. This is why it's a hybrid religion, all this stuff out here. We have to go back to this original word. And that's why every turn, everywhere you go, Satan's striking at it, trying to get you to doubt, trying to get your womb to have some other seed in there, so that when this you come to church and it's preached, it just don't do what it's supposed to because you've listened to something else.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
This is our lifelong journey of what we're fighting with.
Right.
It's to believe the Word of God.
Amen. Right.
And not mix it with anything else. So God's just simply looking for a good mate. The bride of Christ. We know he finds one because the scripture said there, rejoice, O ye heavens, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Well, that means he found one. I'm going to ask you a question. Who did he find? Did he find the harlot? The whore? Did he find one who says, well, you gotta take her the way she is? Just no. That's not who she is. Amen. He wants a good wife that he can reproduce himself. And who's going to tell him he can't do that? He's God.
Right.
So you see, he's declared it all through his Bible. This is his opinion. It's interesting that why did Brother Branham come along and preach that sermon, the choosing of a bride. And he shows in there what kind of wife God is looking for. She's not looking for one who's half-dressed, bouncing around with rock and roll religion in the vision, right?
Right.
This is what God, this is his opinion. This is what he says. He looked on Israel and he said, she's a whore. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to tell him he's wrong? He looked on the New Testament church and said, you've done it again. Mm-hmm. Did he change his opinion? Well, okay, I'll compromise. I'll go ahead and take one that's been... No, because here's the thing. When we get to over there in heaven, the scripture says there will be nothing there that defiles.
Right.
Right? Oh, how Satan would love to be able to inject his seed in there and that seed go in a rapture, so he would think.
Yeah.
Right? He's coming to destruction. He's coming to his end. And he's trying to do something to stop it. So he gets himself into humanity, injects himself in there. Gets himself in there trying to delay his judgment. And so you have to realize that God is not going to take his word and put it in with a creed or a dogma and take that into heaven. Because it's got some death mixed in it and he's all life.
Right.
And it would not be welcome there.
Right.
And it would be a defilement if it was there.
Right.
You see, he can't mix himself with something that's not right here.
Yeah. Right.
He can't do it. And the problem is through Satan's subtlety, is that people don't realize that big parts of their life, they are mixing other things with this. You believe this right here, and it will produce. One of the greatest things in the world, and I'm seeing it myself, one of the greatest things in the world is to see your God fighting your battles while you stand back and just praise his name. While you commit it to him, and you give it to him, and you daily, and you lay it before him, and thank him for it, and you call his attention to it, And you see him begin to move, and you see him orchestrating events that you know is him.
Right.
And you're like, praise God.
Uh-huh.
You just stand back there and just thank you, Lord. Uh-huh. And you know what you do? You go right back to prayer and say, God, do it. Take care of it. I give it to you. And he's working on it. And sometimes you see it, and sometimes you don't. But let me tell you something. He's always working. He's always moving behind the scenes. You may not see it. That's fine. A lot of times you don't. That's part of the test and the trying. But he is working. And if you take this promise of God and you commit it to him in prayer and you keep doing that, he will move the entire universe to bring it to pass.
Right.
And you'll see him do that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
You just don't mix it with something. So, amen. God's just simply looking for a good wife, and this is God's opinion. He said they're harlots, New Testament, they've done the same thing. This is his opinion. Who's going to tell him, well, you need to change your opinion? Kind of ignorant to do that, right? Well, he's God. Amen. So, I want to ask you a question. If this is the God that we serve, this is the one that created, this is the way, and this is what he's seen all along. Old Testament, look what you did, Israel. New Testament, look what you did, New Testament church. So if this is his opinion, and he's not changing his standard, right? He said, I will not mix my seed with false teaching.
Right?
I will only go to a heart that receives my word and my word alone and don't mix it with something else.
Right?
If that's his opinion, and that God said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send a messenger at the end. What do you think that messenger is going to say when he gets here? If he's truly sent of God, what do you think he's going to have to say? Would it not be the same thing?
Yeah.
Would it not be that Old Testament did it, New Testament has done it, and he's still got the same desire for the same sacred womb, and he's not changing his tune? Wouldn't that be what that messenger would say?
Right?
Yeah. If people want, well, why are you so strict? I can't change it. It's his word. I'm not trying to be strict. I'm just telling you, I can see what God's complaint has been all along. Amen?
Right.
I can see what it's been. It'd be the same message. It would be the same disposition. Would it not be? Would it not be the zeal of the Lord? Let me use that word just for a moment. You know, when Jesus went in there and he drove out the money changers and said the zeal of, you know,
right?
And so, zeal is jealousy. The jealousy of the Lord. He's jealous over Israel. You think he's not jealous over the New Testament church? You think he's not jealous when he sees Satan go in and defile what could have been his wife? He looks at that and he's jealous, God. And I'm going to tell you what, I've been jealous before. And it usually doesn't bring up good actions or good desires of action when you're jealous. Usually,
right. It
makes you want to go do some terrible things. So would not this, if he really sent one, would he come along and say, prosperity, just do whatever, everything's good, you know, no big deal, don't judge, God will sort them out when they get there, would he do that? No, he would preach a gospel that says, this has been the problem, this is what God's looking for, this has been his complaint all along,
right?
That's what he would have to do.
Right.
And he would have a supernatural ministry to back it up.
Right?
Amen. It'd be the same language that God has said in his Bible to begin with. So what is this end time bride? What is she? Amen. She is simply a church that finally gets it. She finally realizes what God's complaint has been through this Bible and what he's been looking for. She finally gets it. She's heard his word. She realizes what his complaint is, what it's been all along, and she finally understands what he's looking for, what he needs, and why he needs it. Why he can't take a defiled church, because it can't go there. It's his enemy.
Right?
Right. It's his enemy. And she's willing to be that kind of woman. Think about that. But all these years throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, God has looked and sought for. And he's had to sit back and look at that. Like my friend having to sit and watch her come and go, and not be wife to him. Who would ask him to do that? Who would ask our Lord, just deal with it? Got to put up with it. No. We wouldn't do that. And yet when we tell people, we try to convince them, or we don't, but people try to convince us to doubt this word.
No.
That's exactly what's happening there.
No.
And God says, I cannot take that because it's mixed with another man's seed.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Right.
So that's why at the end time it says, come out of her. That's why at the end time he says, let me show you this church system. Let me show this to you. She's a harlot and she's got daughters. God is showing us at the end time, this has been the complaint. This has been the problem. Now let same angel, I believe.
Right.
Now I've showed you the harlot, the whore. Now let me show you the bride.
Right.
Go look those scriptures up and read it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Let me show you. And the same one says, rejoice now. That's the scripture. Rejoice, for the marriage has come. Same word that comes along. Same, you know, the scripture said angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those will be heirs of salvation, right? So if he sends, whether it's an angel with wings on his back or a man that's anointed with the spirit, or just something that comes over you, right? It could all that, right? Just something that moves upon you and it encourages you.
Right.
The angels come to strengthen, right?
Right.
So if it's of God, it'll be a spirit that will come upon you, whether it's just a feeling that comes that leads you and gives you confidence in the word, or a man anointed behind a pulpit preaching, or a prophet with a gift or whatever, or maybe Gabriel comes and, you know, in the room and talks to you or something like that. It doesn't matter. They're all ministering spirits sent forth
right.
to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
So if that comes, that angel comes, he's here to encourage you. He's here to help you.
Right.
And he's here to speak to the ones who are going to be heirs of salvation. He's not speaking to the other ones. They don't even hear it.
Right.
They don't feel it. It doesn't move them. But this one moves.
Amen.
It moves the ones who are going to receive. And he moves upon them, and what he has to say in this indictment, that spirit has to come, whether you believe it was Brother Bram or not, or the Holy Spirit or not. If it comes, it has to say, let me show you the harlot system.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me show you the bride. And now
Amen.
Let's rejoice. Why? Because there's a bride that took that information
yes.
and done something with it.
Amen.
Because that's all she is. She's just a church, just like all the rest of the churches. Because she gets it.
Amen.
She says, I realize this man just wants someone who will be faithful to him and him alone.
Amen.
That's all he wants.
Yep.
And I, for one, want to give that to him. Amen?
Yep.
How do you want to give that to him?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what he wants. And when he sees that she's that kind of woman, what do you think he's going to do? Going to marry her. He's going to take her to himself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
She finally gets it. You know, that brings kind of a new meaning to that song that we sing. Mm-hmm. He was there all the time.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
In the Old Testament, he was there all that time.
That's right.
New Testament, waiting patiently shortly in life.
That's it.
He was there. Saints, that breaks my heart.
Amen. Amen.
Of the millions of people. But he couldn't. He can't. Because it would water down his own lifeline. The word that was able to create all things would no longer be able to create all things if you mix it with that other seed
yep.
of unbelief. This is why it matters.
Amen.
This is why we cannot compromise with this word.
Amen.
That's why. Because that's exactly what it does when you mix it with something, is
yep.
you take away the ability for this word to continue on through eternity.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
I want to live on. Amen.
Yeah.
And I think about the character of our God, and then you have to sit there and watch all that with his heart broken.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Right.
But the scripture tells us there is a bride.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Kind of brings a new meaning to that song.
Right.
Don't you want to be the one that he chooses?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it this way.
Amen.
Don't you want to be the one he can choose?
Yes. Amen.
Why can't he choose you? Because he can look at you and say, you know what? Though Satan has tried, he has did this and flirted and tried, but she says, no, I'm staying with my husband. Right?
Amen.
And now you know why that story at work, the because God put this on my heart and then brought that attention to me to understand the audacity of people to say, God, you just got to take us as we are. You just got to let us go run and do and believe whatever we want. No, he don't.
No,
and he won't.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So, we'll let the people choose the title. But one couple of titles that come to mind is a jealous God. And another title is a church that finally gets it. She finally gets it.
Amen.
We live in such a tremendous hour. God is doing miracles.
Amen.
We have, there are people with stage 4 cancers. I heard a testimony yesterday from Jason Jackson's church. Wasn't a man going there, but he came there because he said, I'm looking, I got stage 4 cancer, I only got just a few weeks to live. I'm looking for a church that believes in divine healing. Well, Ron Spencer just happened to be there at that time.
My mind.
You know what happened.
Yep. Man.
He said it felt like a bolt of lightning went through him, and it was Saturday night, I think, because the next morning, it was Sunday morning, when they got to church, the man was standing there in the parking lot, and it was raining. He's standing in the rain. They got out, and the man said, I feel today like I have drank 1,000 cups of coffee. It was that energetic. He went right back to the doctor, and the doctor said, there is something wrong, because there is no cancer whatsoever.
Hallelujah.
That's our day.
Hallelujah.
That's people in our
That's
ranks.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because if you don't water it down, if you don't mix it with something else, you can get those things.
Yep.
Right? And so for all of you that's going, especially with your loved ones and so forth, and all the things that Satan has thrown at them, keep it before God. Watch him fight your battles.
That's it.
They're coming.
Hallelujah.
Right? If you just hold true to this word, you're going to see God slay your giants. That's why I said last week,
right,
how big did you say that giant was before he fell? But the key there is, he fell.
Yeah, right? That's right.
We're all going to have those testimonies.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
In fellowshipping over lunch last week, I said to one of our sisters, I said, you know, with Abraham, his whole life's journey, was about seed, right? The promise of seed. Anyway, I said his whole, what I said was his greatest trial, the last trial of his life was over that offspring.
Yep.
Right? Over that offspring. Amen. We're the children of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
With the faith of Abraham. God knows what he's doing. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just let Brother Tim come. Let's bow our hearts to him.
Brother Tony, just pray for our daughter out in Arizona.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Devil's fighting their marriage, and if they separate and they can't get, my daughter can't get custody of our granddaughter.
Okay.
So just earnestly pray with us about that. God would just hold that union together and
amen.
Keep that marriage alive.
Find his promises.
If it's nothing but just to save our granddaughter.
Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together around your word. And I pray, Lord, if there's ever been a sermon that I ever would share with your people, Lord, today would be one that you would lodge in their hearts so they can understand why you have to do what you do and why you have a people here to him that gets it. And Lord, I pray that we do get it. I pray that we're not trying to mix and do anything. And Lord, I know that if we're staying true with your word, that you will bring to pass all the trials of every family in this church, Lord, you will come through for them. We just commit them to you now, Lord. We take Brother Deanhart's request now. Lord, you know the situation, and so we commit it to you and ask God that you move and get glory to yourself. We want you to have that, Lord. We want you to have glory. And we know that in your desire to save humanity, and what gets you glory is when you help your people. So we commit it to you now, Lord. And I pray that this word today, Lord, as it lodges in the hearts of your children, that they remember, Lord, and as they fight the battles, just to stay with you and watch you come and fight the battles for them. We love you, Lord. We thank you because you have not left us to drift in this vast day, but you brought truth to us because you deal in truth. You deal with these facts of your word. We love you and ask it in Jesus' name. This woman had put her, it was a question and answers, I believe, and she said, I just don't know how to surrender to the Lord. I don't know how to do it. And Brother Randy said, why? He said, you know how to surrender to your husband. Amen? Just surrender to him. Just let him have his way. Don't fight him. Right? That's what we need to do. Even as seasoned Christians, just let him have his way.
So you.